All right, now, in Genesis chapter 1, the part that I wanted to focus on is at the very end of the chapter, where he says in verse number 29, "And God said, Behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for meat, and to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day." Now look at chapter 2, and I want to show you another verse. The Bible reads in verse number 16, "And the Lord God," this is Genesis 2:16, "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die." Now, the subject that I want to talk about tonight is a subject that, you know, is not to condemn anyone or not to really offend anyone, but this is a subject that if you'll listen and try to learn tonight from the Bible will help you to be a lot better off in a lot of different ways. Now, what I want to talk about tonight is food. Okay, I want to preach about eating and eating the right kind of diet. Now, the thing is, the Bible talks a lot about food. And in fact, if you really stop and think about it, the very first sin in the Bible was someone eating something that they were told not to eat, right? I mean, if you stop and think about it, there's the Garden of Eden, and he's given them all these different fruit trees and all these different vegetables, but there was one tree that God commanded them not to eat of, and in eating of that forbidden fruit, that is what basically cursed mankind and condemned them to death and so forth. And only through, you know, Jesus Christ were they able to be saved. And to this day, we're sinful because we descend from Adam and Eve. But the point is that since the Bible talks so much about food, all the way from Genesis chapter 1, all the way down to the end of the Bible, it's still talking about food, we should not have an attitude that says, the Bible has nothing to teach me about food. Or, the Bible doesn't mention that, I'm going to eat whatever I want. Now look, you can surely eat whatever you want. But just because all things are lawful for us does not mean that all things are expedient. Paul said, all things are lawful unto me, but all things edify not. Now the Bible says this, you don't have to turn there, but in 1 Corinthians 6:19, "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." So according to the Bible, not only does our spirit belong to God, but our body belongs to God. And our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Therefore we should keep our body in a good condition. We shouldn't just trash the body that God has given us. We should glorify God in our body. Now, there are certain things that the Bible, you know, forbids about our body. You know, for example, you know, we ought not smoke. Now, the Bible does not anywhere mention smoking. But the principle is here in the Bible of taking care of your body. And obviously, if my body belongs to God, and I'm supposed to be serving God with my life, obviously smoking cigarettes is going to hinder me from being able to do that to the fullest. It's going to make me unhealthy. It's going to take away money that I could have spent on something else. And many people have financial problems, and part of it's the $6 a day that they're laying out for a pack of cigarettes. It's going to make me be coughing and have less energy, less endurance. I'm going to die young if I smoke a bunch of cigarettes, and so I'd not abuse the body that God has given me. But wait a minute. Wouldn't that same principle carry over into some of the food that we eat? I mean, wouldn't eating a steady diet of junk food destroy the temple, you know, destroy my body just as much as smoking cigarettes perhaps or doing other things that are destructive? You know, our body is not our own. It doesn't belong to us to just abuse in whatever way we want to abuse it. Okay, we should take care of it, and God talks about this throughout the Bible. Now, the way that you should look at this sermon as I preach this sermon, and there's a lot of Bible that I'm going to go through, and I'm not just going to give you my opinion, but I'm going to give you what the Bible teaches about this. Now, as I go through this, don't think of this as, you know, well, Pastor Anderson is forbidding us to eat certain foods. I mean, I don't care what you eat, okay? I'm not saying that it's a sin to eat the things that I'm going to talk about tonight. What I'm saying is that if you're smart, if you're wise, you'll take the advice that the Bible has to eat a healthy diet, to keep yourself in the best condition possible, so that you can do the most for God. So don't look at it as an issue of, you know, necessarily, is it, it's a sin or it's not a sin. No, wait a minute. Just because something is not a sin doesn't mean that I'm going to just do it freely. Do you understand what I mean by that? For example, I don't think that it's a sin to play a video game. There's no mention of the Bible condemning Pac-Man or anything like that. But do you think that I should just sit around and play video games all day? No. So just because something's not a sin doesn't mean that it's something that I want to do or do continually or do all the time. Do you understand what I'm saying? So don't always look at things as just, is it a sin or not a sin? There are many things that are not a sin, but it's unwise. It's not the way that you want to live your life. And so just try to learn from the sermon. And you know, I'm telling you, if you will eat a good diet, it's not, we just think of weight. It's not, that's not what it is. We're talking about the energy that you have is related to the kind of food that you're putting in your body. We're talking about just the way that you feel. Your emotions are affected by the food that you eat. We're not just talking about, you say, well, I'm not overweight. I don't have to worry about it. Look, I'm not overweight either. And yet I'm very careful about the food that I eat because I want to have energy. Did you know that eating the wrong foods can affect your mind? Honestly. I mean, there are times when I've eaten junk food and I can't think straight. I can't memorize things as well. But then if I eat the right foods, boy, my mind is just working much better, much sharper, much more clear. So this is to help you, and I'm preaching this, number one, because it's in the Bible. I want to preach everything in the Bible. But number two, because I want to help you to feel better, to have more energy, to be able to serve God to the fullest, to be able to read the Bible and have a clear mind and to be able to think straight and not to be, you know, foggy in your mind and unhealthy and sitting around. And you know what? Or, you know, becoming overweight or underweight. You know, these are also detrimental conditions that you don't want. So let's go through this in the Bible. The first thing we saw in Genesis chapter 1 was that God created all these fruits that were yielded from trees that had seeds within them. And he also created all these vegetable plant life. And he said, I've given these to you for meat. I've given these to you for food. In Genesis chapter 2, he pointed out all these different kinds of trees and fruit trees. He said, of all the trees of the garden, thou mayest freely eat. So he didn't put a limit on how many they could eat, how much they could eat, which ones they could eat. He said, all the things that I made are very good. I mean, when he got done with all the creation in Genesis 1:31, he looked at everything he made. He said it was very good. And so, number one, we need to see is that the food that God made is good for you. I mean, if God made it, it's good for you. Now, what are the examples? First of all, we have fruits and vegetables. Look at Genesis chapter 9. So number one, we see that God created the fruits and vegetables. And so if you're eating something that God made, it's healthy. It's good for you. It's good for food. And not only that, but you may freely eat of it. You shouldn't limit yourself and say, oh man, I've already had my apple today. You know, look, eating fruit is good for you. And the more fruits and vegetables you eat, the better off you're going to be health-wise. I mean, you should eat a lot of fruits and vegetables. But not only that, look at Genesis chapter 9, verse 3. The Bible reads, every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you. Even as the green herb have I given you all things, but flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, shall ye not eat. Now flip over in the New Testament to 1 Timothy chapter 4. Toward the end of the New Testament, the book of 1 Timothy. So we saw that in Genesis 1 and 2, God gave us all these fruits and vegetables to eat. They're good for us. They're healthy. In Genesis chapter 9, he said, every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you. So he's basically talking about eating animals. Now which animals did he tell us to eat in Genesis chapter 9? All of them. He said, every living thing that moveth, all these different animals you may free. You say, wait a minute, what about, you know, doesn't the Bible say not to eat pork and all this stuff? Look, during the Mosaic law, with the nation of Israel, when Moses brought the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, God gave them a set of dietary restrictions that was a figure, according to Hebrews chapter 9, was a figure for the time then present. It was a temporary restriction that had a certain signification, just like the Passover, you know, was kept and all these different things that were pointing toward Jesus Christ. And it says in Hebrews chapter 9 that the meats, the drinks, the diverse ordinances, the carnal ordinances, were imposed on them until the time of Reformation, but Christ being come, an high priest of good things to come. And so he explains that when Christ came, the dietary restrictions and things on the nation of Israel were lifted at that time. The meats, now we don't throw out the whole Old Testament, but the meats and drinks and divers washings are three things that specifically God said that has changed. Those are done away with. And if you go back to before the nation of Israel, those things didn't exist anyway. They were told in Genesis 9 to eat of whatever animal they chose. The washings and those things came with Moses, okay, and that was a temporary thing. The rest of the teachings of the Old Testament we still follow and practice, except the things that are specifically mentioned, and there are others throughout the book of Hebrews that change. So if you want to understand the relationship between the Old Testament and the New Testament, read the book of Hebrews, and it explains it. And so you can go through that. But look at 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. Look at verse 4. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. So he's saying, look, there are religions out there in the latter times that will teach people to abstain from meats, abstain from certain things, when he's saying, no, every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. You know, thank God for your food and eat pork, eat ham, dogs, cats, whatever. No, I'm just kidding. But anyway, you know, pork, whatever, you know, you want to eat fish, shrimp, whatever. And so we do not go by the Mosaic law dietary restrictions for that reason, because it's clearly stated in Hebrews 9 and in 1 Timothy chapter 4. But notice this, what does this sound like to you? Forbidding to marry. Think about that. Think about a religion that forbids the priest to get married, right? The Roman Catholic Church. When the Bible says a bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife. And yet their bishops, their priests, are commanded not to be married. And they're commanded to abstain from meat on what day of the week? Friday. And then there are other cult movements out there, like the Seventh-day Adventist cult movement, started by Ellen G. White, a woman in the 1800s, who started the religion of the Seventh-day Adventists, and all their weird prophecies that have never come true and all that. And you know, we could go on and on about false religions that try to tell people not to eat meat, to eat vegetarian diets or certain meats or what have you. But so we see that, number one, we saw that what God created, that's what's healthy. That's what's good for food. We saw the fruits and vegetables. We saw meat. He's telling us to eat meat. Is God telling us to have a vegetarian diet? No. He's telling us to eat these creatures, to eat meat. He said, I've given to you for meat. Okay, look at Matthew chapter 6. See, all the answers are in the Bible. We got to go to the Bible if we want to understand how to eat a healthy diet. Okay, so number one, we saw fruits, we saw vegetables, we saw meat. Now, we're going to see we're getting into some more food groups here. Matthew 6:11, just one short verse. Give us this day our daily bread. Now, what is that referring to? Well, obviously we know that Jesus said, man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth that God, and so we should read the Bible every day, of course. But in the literal sense here, he's talking about praying that God will provide your physical need for food. And he said, give us this day our daily bread. So how often should we eat bread? Daily. You see, people so many times look at the metaphorical interpretation of the Bible. Why not just look at the literal interpretation of what he's saying? I mean, what did he really say? Eat bread on a daily basis. He said, provide us with bread that we could eat it daily. And so people think that the Bible is just, you know, we read it for spiritual things. But no, the Bible has the answer for every area of your life. And so I'm not on a low-carb diet, okay? I'm eating bread on a daily basis. I'm eating meat on a daily basis. Fruits and vegetables on a daily basis. Now, another thing, you don't have to turn there. Turn to Leviticus chapter 3, though. Third book in the Bible, Leviticus chapter 3. First, we're just going through our basic food groups. Then we're going to get into some other teachings of the Bible. But Genesis 18:8 is the first mention of milk in the Bible, okay? And the Bible talks about Abraham. God himself with his two angels come and visit Abraham in Genesis chapter 18. You remember they're going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And before they do, they stop at Abraham's, and God and his two angels, and he basically prepares a meal for them, and they eat, and you know, he didn't know at first who these are. It's just these three men come in and sit down, and he feeds them. It says he took butter and milk and the calf which he had dressed, the calf is talking about beef, and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. So here we have Jesus and his two angels, right, sitting down, eating what? Milk, butter, beef, okay, bread, and so forth. And then you look at the New Testament. I wasn't going to go into this, but look at what Jesus ate in the New Testament. Fish, honeycomb, bread. I mean, you can read through the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Look at some of the things that Jesus ate. He's eating bread, he's eating fish, he's eating meat, he's eating all these different things. But look at Leviticus chapter 3, verse 14. This is talking about the priests of the Lord. Now, before I read it, the priests in the Old Testament, they did not have a job where they went out and worked. They basically, their job was to serve God in the temple, and they would do these animal sacrifices for the people, and they would basically eat the meat. Like when they would sacrifice a lamb, they would eat all the meat from that lamb. They would eat all the meat from the calves and goats that they sacrificed. That was the way that they survived. I mean, that was what they lived off of. Look at Leviticus 3:14. And he shall offer thereof his offering, even an offering made by fire unto the Lord, the fat that covereth the inwards, and all the fat that is upon the inwards, and the two kidneys, and the fat that is upon them, which is by the flanks, and the caul above the liver with the kidneys, it shall he take away. Now, this is going into graphic detail explaining the way that they were to butcher these animals. They're taking away the kidney. They're not eating the kidney, the liver. They did eat the liver, but they took out the caul, the flanks, the fat, right? They're cutting all the fat off the meat. It says, and the priest shall burn them upon the altar. It is the food of the offering made by fire for a sweet savor. All the fat is the Lord's. Look at verse 17, though. It shall be a perpetual statute for your generations throughout all your dwellings that ye eat neither fat nor blood. Okay. Now, this is not saying that eating any fat is bad. It is not wrong to eat fat, but we should not eat animal fat. Okay, do you understand that? I mean, like, for example, if you take a piece of meat, and, you know, you can cut a steak, and there's like a strip of white on the edge that's the fat, that's not good for you. And so they would cut that part off, and they would eat the lean meat. Now, it's not wrong to eat other kinds of fat, and it's not a sin here to eat fat. It is a sin to eat blood. That's mentioned in the New Testament. It talks about how that is sinful to eat blood. But, you know, it's not healthy for you to eat animal fat. Now, vegetable fats are very good for you. But animal fats are not good for you. That's why God is telling them when they butchered these animals to take away the fat that was around the internal organs, not to eat it, and to cut off all the fat from the meat, and to not just sit there and eat pieces of fat. You say, well, I wasn't going to eat that anyway. Well, good night. There are places in this world, and let me tell you about it. Hungary is one of them, okay? And they eat fat. And I mean, I can't understand it. It's unbelievable. I mean, my wife's dad was staying with us, and he cooked for us, and he cooked some great food. And it was, I loved it, and I enjoyed having him here and eating all the good food, because Hungarian food is wonderful. But he will literally try to feed you a piece of fat. And he thinks it's good. I mean, just a piece of pig fat. I'm not kidding. I mean, they will literally, my wife, when she was growing up in Hungary, they would just take pig fat and just put it in little cubes. Put a little dollop of mustard on it, and that was just a snack that they would eat. And to me, you know, growing up in America, that is just revolting. To just take a piece of pig fat, I mean, just raw pig fat, and just pop it in your mouth. But over there, I mean, they spread pig fat on toast, literally. And I mean, it's I couldn't believe it. I mean, I could not eat that way. I mean, it's really, I mean, they eat blood too and other weird stuff. But we're not going to go into that. But they use blood like jelly, and you know, we're not going to talk about that. But anyway, the point is that, you know, we should eat meat, yes. Fruits and vegetables, yes. Bread, yes. Fat, well, butter is great. The Bible talks a lot about butter. 11 mentions of butter in the Bible. All positive. You know, nothing is telling us not to eat butter. Milk obviously has fat in it. Okay, but these are good kinds of fat. The fat that is on meat is not healthy. You should try to eat lean pieces of meat. Okay? Now, look at Proverbs 23. Now we're going to get into the heart of the message. That was kind of just the basics at the beginning, just explaining to you some basic food groups from the Bible. And we pretty much had all four groups. The dairy group. The Bible talks about cheese in a positive way. We got the dairy group. We got the meat group. We've got fruits and vegetables. We got the bread group. God is telling us that these are all good things. We should be eating all of them on a daily basis. A balanced diet of bread, meat, fruits and vegetables. Freely eating fruits and vegetables. No limit on that. But now we're going to talk a little bit about the application. Proverbs 23, verse 20. The Bible reads, "Be not among wine bibbers." Now, who's coming to the Spanish class on Sunday mornings? Who knows this verb, bebir? What does it mean? B-E-B-I-R in Spanish, bebir. To drink. So this is, in English, you know, wine bibbers. It's talking about, like, we would call it a wino. You know, somebody who drinks wine for the purpose of getting drunk. Okay, because wine is pretty much the cheapest form of alcohol that you're going to find. And so bums and transients are called winos many times because they, you know, get drunk drinking bottles of cheap wine. It says, "Be not among wine bibbers, among riotous eaters of flesh, for the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags." So God's warning us here about three things: drunkenness, gluttony, and laziness, right? Drowsiness. You know, you run into these people that are just always tired. I'm tired. And they're never, you know, they don't work hard. They don't get things done. But they're just suddenly always too tired to do anything. You know, it's not tired. It's being lazy, usually, is what it is, okay? And so, three things that will bring you to poverty. Three things that are going to clothe you with rags. Three things that are going to destroy you, especially men is who I'm really talking to the most here, but it could go to for ladies as well. Hey, gluttony, drunkenness, and laziness. Now, gluttony is a sin. Now, what is gluttony? Gluttony is basically, you know, overeating. Okay? Look at Ecclesiastes chapter number 10. Ecclesiastes chapter number 10. And look at verse number 16. The Bible reads, "Woe to thee, O land, when thy child is a king, when thy king is a child, and thy princes eat in the morning." Look at verse 17. "Blessed art thou, O land, when thy king is the son of nobles, and thy princes eat in due season for strength and not for drunkenness." Now here he's talking about a person actually becoming drunk with food in a sense. He's using a metaphor here of somebody who's just eating to just gorge themselves for pleasure, just stuffing their face with food to make them feel good, instead of eating in due season, instead of eating for strength, as it says in verse 17. You know, have you ever heard the saying by Cicero, the Roman orator? He said, "I don't live to eat, I eat to live." And many people live to eat. And they just gorge themselves with mass amounts of food in order to make themselves feel good instead of just eating something that's going to strengthen them. Everything's just about, does it taste good? Is it going to make me feel good to gorge myself? Now, keep your finger over there. We'll put your finger in Proverbs 25:16, and put your other finger in Leviticus 25:19. All right? Then take your thumb of your left hand. No, I'm just kidding. So look at Proverbs 25:16. And then Leviticus 25:19. I'm going to compare two things for you. See, it's good to eat until you're full. And let me tell you something. When I sit down for breakfast, when I sit down for lunch, when I sit down for dinner, I eat until I'm full. I'm not going to quit eating until I'm full. Okay? I'm not saying you shouldn't eat until you're full. But then there are people who eat beyond when they're full. And they keep eating. Okay? This is what's detrimental. Let's look at this in the Bible. Leviticus 25:19. "And the land shall yield her fruit, and ye shall eat your fill, and dwell therein in safety." Okay? Eat your fill. Look at Proverbs 25:16. "Hast thou found honey? Eat so much as is sufficient for thee, lest thou be filled therewith and vomit it." Okay? So here he's talking about, you know, you find honey. Because back then they didn't have as readily available all the sweets and everything that we had. So, you know, they found honey, they found a beehive. And he says, hey, eat as much as is sufficient for you. But he's saying, don't go beyond that or you're going to end up vomiting. And, you know, many people, they overeat, they gorge themselves, and then they throw up. Because they gorge themselves with food. Especially sweets and junk food. And so God is saying here, look, eat as much as is sufficient for thee. Eat your fill, but don't go beyond that. And so when you're full, you should stop eating. Now sometimes you're eating and you're full, but your mouth just wants more, right? You know, who knows what I'm talking about? I mean, you'll be eating and you're totally full, and then they come with the dessert menu. you know, you don't need dessert. I mean, you're totally done eating. You're full. Your stomach's full. But, oh, the triple layer chocolate lava cake, ice cream, fondue special or whatever. You know, their little dessert menu. And then you just order it just to tickle your taste bud. That's not healthy. It's not healthy to keep eating when you're full. When you're full, just be done with it, is what he said. Now, don't quit before you're full. Eat until you're full. But when you're full, be done with it. Now, here's the thing. People, and by the way, America is suffering from problems with eating. It's true. I mean, if you look around and if you look at the statistics and you look at the information out there, you see that Americans are not eating properly. Now, there's a huge problem with, you know, no pun intended, there's a huge problem with, you know, people being overweight and obesity in this country. Did you know that there are countries in this world where obesity does not exist? It's true. I mean, there are countries in this world where there is no such thing as an obese person. And I'm not talking about Ethiopia. I'm not talking about third world countries. I'm talking about countries where the people have enough money and enough food. There are places in Europe where you won't see anybody who's very overweight, who's obese. Why? Because they don't eat junk food over there, okay, in certain places. Many places, a lot of the junk that people eat in America is not even legal, okay. And so we see that obesity is a big problem in America. Many people are overweight. They're obese, okay. But not only that, there are many people who have eating disorders where they're anorexic, you know, they're starving themselves, and then they gorge themselves, throw up, and all these different things. And I've known many, many people who struggled with these eating disorders, and there are other people who have bought into Hollywood's warped idea that, you know, you must be skinny in order to be attractive. And, you know, that's just not true. God made different people to look differently on this earth. I mean, not everyone is designed to be that slim or skinny. It's true. I mean, there are some people who are designed to be thicker than others, okay? Now, again, you know, people who are obese and, you know, they should change something about their diet in order to be a more healthy weight. But look, first of all, not everyone is designed to be skinny. Some people's DNA, their body has designed them to be a little bit more substantial in their figure, okay? Other people are designed to be more slim. And by the way, as you get older, it's natural for you to not be quite as slim, to have a little bit more fat on your body and so on. That's a part of the aging process. But Hollywood has crammed down our throat with all these, you know, models that they have on TV that are just ultra skinny, and they put that out there like that's the only norm. That's the only attractive norm, is to be just very skinny. And you know, God made everybody different. Everybody doesn't have to look the same. You don't have to look just like the Hollywood stars in order to be considered beautiful by God. Okay? So a lot of people have this psychological problem where they're just never skinny enough, you know? So they just keep starving themselves and starving themselves. Others are binging on food and then vomiting it up and binge eating, binge drinking, you know? There are a lot of problems. And so we need to see this from the Bible and understand this. The problem, first of all, I'd like to say, it's not how much people are eating that's making them obese. It's what they're eating that's making them obese. Let me just say that right now. It's true. It's not how much they're eating, because the Bible tells you to eat until you're full. Now, not overeating and making yourself sick, but it's not how much people are eating that's making them obese. It's what they're eating. They're not eating the food that God made. I mean, God gave us fruits and vegetables. We saw it in the Bible. God gave us meat. God gave us milk. God gave us butter and cheese. God gave us bread. But the food that people are eating today did not come from God. It came from a laboratory somewhere. It's made out of chemicals and all that stuff. That's what's making people obese. I mean, every person that I've known personally that I was close to that was very obese, usually the stuff that they were eating was like processed foods. And that's why I said there are people, for example, in Italy that are eating all kinds of lasagna, spaghetti. I mean, they're eating a lot of food. They love to eat, but yet they're not obese. Why? Why is it that I can eat a ton, my sister eats a ton, but other people I know eat a ton, and they don't gain a ton of weight? It's what you're eating, because it's just a tiny little bit of the wrong foods. Even if you're eating mostly the good food, tiny little bit of the wrong foods is gonna do damage to your body. These fats that have been altered in a laboratory, the hydrogenated fats, the hydrogenated oils, they're fats and oils that have been chemically altered in a laboratory, and these are the things that will put the weight on your body. These are the things that are going to put the weight around your internal organs. They're going to clog up your arteries and give you heart disease and heart failure and all these different things. It's not how much we eat. God said, eat freely fruits and vegetables. You're never going to become obese because you ate too many apples and oranges. You can eat apples, oranges, nuts, grapefruits. You will never get obese like that. Eat them freely. I mean, an apple is what, 60 calories? And yet it's probably going to take you 60 calories to digest that apple. You're probably going into the negative when you eat an apple. You're not going to get fat from eating too many apples, too many bananas, too many pineapples, but you will from eating the Little Debbie snack cake. Yes, I'll name the names in this pulpit. Hey, I name the name. The Twinkies, the Ho-Hos, you heard me. What are those things? The oatmeal cream pies, the worst offender of all. Now, that Little Debbie, I'm going to tell you, she's wicked, okay? Whoever she is, I don't know if it's a real person or just a logo, but I'm going to tell you something, she's wicked. And so, let me give you some examples. And I got more in the Bible here, but let me just teach you a little bit here. And I've got some props up here tonight, okay, to do a little teaching. Okay? Now, somebody run and go get me, Brother Dave, can you go get me some cups? Give me like 4 cups, please, okay? And I'm going to do some illustrations, some object lessons here, okay? Now, this is a subject that I think a lot about because I do a lot of traveling, okay? And when you're traveling, now when I'm at home, my wife's feeding me all this great home cooking and it's healthy because it's made from scratch. It's all what God made, you know. And she mixes together real fruits and vegetables, breads, meats, and creates. But when I'm on the road, you know, I don't have access to that kind of food. I mean, to that kind of home cooking. Sometimes I'm in a hurry. I'm on the run. And so I got to do with what I can find. Okay? So I think about this all the time because someone like me who travels a lot, let's say I just didn't care and I just went to fast food after fast food. I mean, I'd be dead or I'd be, you know, grossly overweight or I'd be sick or I wouldn't be able to think straight because I eat out so much. I have to be very careful about this personally. Not to eat junk. And you know, sometimes I'm guilty of it, of just breaking down, you know, and there's just nothing else around. So I just go and get some junk or whatever. But it's rare. Now, let me give you an example. Let's say you want to eat a bag of chips, right? Who likes chips? My kids love chips, okay. Now look, we talked about what? The food that God made, it's good. Now, let me give you a scripture here. Luke 14:34. Salt is good. Period. Okay. But if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be seasoned? So salt is not bad for you. God says it's good for you. And now you say, oh, there's a salt. I don't care what the world says. God said that butter and salt are good. Okay? I don't need somebody to tell me what some scientist said. That salt. You know, 1 week they'll say salt's bad, and then a year later, oh, it turns out salt's good for you. Oh, wow, we just found out that a low-carb diet's actually bad for you. You know, the world is always changing their little fad diets of what they say is healthy. The Bible says meat, bread, cheese, butter, salt, amen. Okay, I don't need anybody else to tell me, okay? Now look, let's say I walk in the gas station and I'm looking at the chip aisle, okay? Let me give you some examples of chips, okay? This is Munchies. Munchies Cheese Fix. Okay? Now, I think this is like a mixture of Cheetos, Doritos, Sun Chips. Okay? This is Fritos, the original King James Version. No, I'm just kidding. Fritos brand, the original corn chips. Okay? Now look, this is a quick way to know which of these is good for you and which one is not. And I don't care what food you're dealing with. Ice cream, chips, whatever. You look at the ingredient list. Don't look at this stupid government little chart, this little brainwash you chart of nutrition facts. It's the biggest scam. Listen, the nutrition facts will lie to you. They'll say 0 grams of trans fat per serving. Yeah, you get into the ingredients, it's full of hydrogenated fats. You can't go by this little chart. You got to look at the ingredients because this is what they'll do. They'll put in 0.5 0.49 grams of trans fat per serving. And then they say, oh, zero, because we rounded it down to zero. And they'll even put an advertisement on the front many times. 0 grams of trans fat. But you look in that ingredient list, it's in there. Hydrogenated fats are in there. Because what they should be doing, if they really wanted to tell you the truth, they would be measuring it in milligrams. And then you could actually see how much was in there. But everybody just rounds it down to zero, and they make sure to just put enough of the poison in to be under a half a gram. Okay? And they can round it down. Look at the ingredient list on this Munchies. I mean, it's huge. It's this long. I mean, it has hundreds of things in it. And the word that you're looking for, the bad word, is hydrogenated. Okay? Look at this. Partially hydrogenated soybean and cottonseed oil. That is fats that have been chemically altered in a laboratory to make them stay solid at room temperature when they're supposed to be liquid. And then we've got disodium guanylate, disodium inosinate. We've got hydrolyzed wheat protein. We got partially hydrogenated soybean oil, maltodextrin, disodium phosphate, monosodium glutamate, lactic acid, artificial color, yellow 6, yellow 5. Okay, these are not the things that mom is cooking with in the cupboard, in the pantry, in the kitchen. These are not the things that God made in Genesis 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. This is man-made chemical garbage that's unhealthy. And this is what... Now look, let's take another example. Fritos. Okay? Listen to the ingredient list on Fritos. It's one line long. Whole corn. Is that healthy or unhealthy? Whole corn. Corn oil. Yeah, right? Okay? And salt. No preservatives. Now look, tell me, is there anything wrong with this? No. Here's another one. Classic Lay's, all right? Potato chips. Listen to the ingredients. Potatoes, sunflower oil, corn oil, and salt. No preservatives. But people think, oh man, don't eat potato chips. That's unhealthy. You're going to get fat. You know, that's unhealthy. Look, don't go by that. That's not going to tell. Oh, but the nutrition fact. Forget the nutrition fact. You're eating potatoes, oil, and salt. Right? You're fine. It's made by God. Okay? And then, last but not least, my all-time favorite chips. These are the ultimate chips in the world. Santitas, corn chips. I mean, I love these. You dip these in salsa, and what's salsa made out of? Vegetables, chopped up vegetables. You know, be sure you get one with no preservatives. But vegetables, spices, tomatoes. I mean, these are all things that are healthy, and you can eat as much as you want. Eat till you're full. This is good. I'll eat this until I'm full all the time. And so this is good for you. This is healthy. Okay? Now, let me give you another example. What?
What are you laughing at?
So, you know, you say ice cream. And, you know, people think like, oh man, ice cream's bad for you. It depends on which ice cream you get. Not all ice cream's bad for you. And ice cream's not going to make you overweight. It's just, you got to get the right ice cream. Now, let me give you a few examples here. It's a little bit melted, because I bought this earlier. But look, these are very similar to one another, okay? Crunch, Nestle Crunch, loaded. All right? And then you're going to be the bad example. And then Häagen-Dazs, vanilla and almonds. Okay, so pretty much the same thing. It's an ice cream bar with chocolate and crunchies on the outside. Okay, you know, basically. But the difference is, look at the ingredients of these two things. And I do, I mean, when I'm out of town, I'll see brands that I've never heard of. I just pick them up and look at the ingredients. Listen to on the Nestle Crunch. Partially hydrogenated palm kernel oil. That's the worst thing. That word hydrogenated, put it back on the shelf. That is what's killing you, honestly. That's what's giving you heart problems. That's what's giving you making you overweight. That's what's hurting you. And then all these other hydrolyzed, hydrogenated, monoglycerides, and all these other chemicals. Listen to the ingredients on Häagen-Dazs, okay? Häagen-Dazs is vanilla ice cream, skim milk, sugar, egg yolks, natural vanilla. None of these things are bad. Are you listening to these? Vegetable oil, coconut oil, almonds roasted in vegetable oil. No preservatives, no artificial flavors. I mean, this is just chocolate, milk, cream, nuts. I mean, there is a big difference. And they probably both, they taste it. I think this one tastes better. I mean, but they both are going to taste pretty much the same. They're both going to taste good. And you say, well, this one costs a little more. The Haagen-Dazs. But wait a minute. How much is it going to cost you when you go to the hospital with, you know, triple bypass surgery because you ate too many of these? It's a reality. I mean, look how much people spend on health care. If you spend a few extra quarters now and get the Haagen-Dazs instead of buying El Cheapo, that's trying to cut corners, okay? They're trying to cut corners because they want you to eat this because it's cheaper and then you're going to be unhealthy. They don't care, you know, when you're sick and overweight and whatever. So big difference between these two things, even though they look the same, okay? Now, here's a great illustration that's going to help you. Look at this. You getting hungry? Should this sermon be a little more interactive? Now look, I need some people to come up here and do a taste test for me. Okay. Now look. Look at these two sodas right here. Grape Crush, okay? Listen to what this has in it. Carbonated water, high fructose corn syrup, you know. It's not really the best thing in the world. Tartaric acid. Sodium benzoate. Very bad for your bones, right? It'll attack your... Jesus, help me out here. Oh, that's phosphoric acid. Never mind. Okay. I don't know what's wrong with it. Sodium benzoate, a preservative, right? It's bad. Sodium benzoate, acacia gum, grape juice concentrate. That's good. Artificial flavor, red 40, blue 1, etc. Okay, listen to this one. This is the Orange Crush. Carbonated water, high fructose corn syrup, citric acid, sodium benzoate, preservative, acacia gum, ester gum, yellow 6, salt, there's one good ingredient, brominated soybean oil, red 40. Okay, now look, come on, who wants to come up here and do this? Okay, let's do Junior and Solomon. Come on up here. All right. Now look. Okay, we got our Orange Crush, okay? First, we're going to give you guys the bad soda, okay? Here you go. Drink the bad one. Son, I'm poisoning you. One sip's not going to kill him, folks. All right, here. Taste the bad one. I'm just giving you a little bit because I don't want you to...
Wait.
What do you think? It's okay?
Tastes like almost real, but...
Okay, now look. Now, let me teach you what I do. Because look, we all like to drink soda, right? But wait a minute. Here's how we can make the same thing that's a totally healthy version, okay? This right here, I didn't pick orange, but you could use orange. This is pine orange banana. 100% juice. Okay? This is a bottle of carbonated water. Okay? So, this is all the chemicals, the sugar. You know how much juice this has? Contains no juice. You see that? Contains no juice. Okay? But juice is healthy, right? I mean, when you're drinking juice, this you're just getting sugar, water, food coloring, preservatives, and artificial flavors. This you're getting vitamins, you're getting nutrients, you're getting fruits that God made squeezed into this, okay? So this is a lot better for you. Now watch. We'll give you the same. Was this your cup?
That was my cup.
Okay, look. Now we're going to pour in some of that right there, okay? And we're going to get the carbonated water. Okay, now try that, son. Tell me, how does that taste? Look at him guzzling it. He loves it.
He's more natural.
It's like a commercial or something. There, try this out. Okay. Good?
Yeah.
Refreshing? You get the same? Look. Go ahead and sit down. You can take your drinks with you. Look. It's refreshing. It tastes good. Which one's better? Which one tasted better?
It's good.
It's good, right? Just as good. Okay? Go ahead and pass these around. But anyway, look. It's not that hard. Okay? Look. You just made a fruit. Here you go, honey. I love you. Look, you just made a soda. You just made orange soda that's actually made out of orange juice and carbonated water. It's going to taste better. And you're giving yourself something healthy. And you're not giving yourself something that's bad, that's unhealthy. This is where you're going to get the diabetes and the and you know all the preservatives and all the and you know this is what's going to make you gain the weight. I mean, fruit juice and soda water. And look, you say, well, it's too expensive. It's too expensive to buy this garbage and destroy your body. That's what's going to cost you in the long run. And really, it's not that expensive because you can buy a 2-liter bottle of club soda, 69 cents or whatever. And then you just buy bottles of juice. You get concentrated juice for cheap. You can reconstitute it with water, and you just mix. I mean, it's not that complicated. You want grape soda? The gas station didn't sell grape juice. But if I had the grape juice up here, I'd be mixing carbonated water and grape juice. I drink this every week of my life. Half grape juice, half carbonated water. You've got a grape soda that tastes 10 times better than this. It's the one that God made. It's healthy. It's good for you. Why not? Why would you drink this when you go to the same store and buy the carbonated water and the juice, mix them together? Okay? Do I have any other examples? No, that's it. So anyway, let me get this stuff out of my way. But that's just an illustration of how easy it is to just make a few changes in your life to eat healthier food, to eat better food. I mean, I'm not saying for you to abstain from chips. But maybe just instead of eating the chips that have a million ingredients, grab the Fritos, grab the Lay's, grab the Santitas, grab a thing of salsa, and do that instead. Or, you know, you can make your own bean dip or whatever, you know, that you can find that you like, okay? Now, you know, butter versus margarine. People have bought into the lie of margarine. And let me tell you something. Margarine is the biggest deceiver and lie in this world. Okay, people have been told that margarine is good for you. Okay? When margarine is horrible for you because it is hydrogenated oils. They say, oh, it's made from a vegetable. Not like that horrible butter that's all fat. It's made from vegetable oil. Yes, vegetable oil that's been chemically altered in a laboratory to be solid at room temperature. Margarine will do horrible things to your body. I mean, it'll make you gain weight. It'll make you overweight. Whereas the Bible mentions butter 11 times in a positive context, and it even describes in Isaiah 7:15 and Isaiah 7:22 Jesus Christ eating butter. Did you hear that? I mean, if Jesus ate butter, don't tell me that butter is the wrong thing to eat if Jesus ate butter. 3 times in the Bible it's mentioned Jesus consuming butter. 3 out of 11 mentions Jesus was the one eating it. Okay, I mean, think about it. And so don't tell me margarine, it's butter. Real. Whenever I go to a restaurant, I demand real butter. I say, I want wheat toast with real butter. And sometimes they're like, huh, you know? And they say, we don't have real butter. You know, we have margarine. I say, then don't bring me any. Just bring me jam. Bring me something else. I will not eat margarine. Cookies that are baked with margarine do not taste as good as cookies baked with butter. I haven't found it in the Bible, but it's true. Anyway, salt is good. We already talked about that. But look at 1 Timothy chapter number 5. 1 Timothy chapter number 5. And so these are some small changes you can make in your life. Get rid of the soda that's the artificial, the high fructose. Get rid of the Faygo sodas, the orange crush, the grape crush, you know, the Coca-Cola. Why not just mix a bottle of fruit juice with a bottle of carbonated water? You're getting something healthy instead of hurting your body. You can substitute the chips. You can substitute the ice cream. Look, I'm not telling you not to eat ice cream. You know what? Before the service, just to make a point, I ate a big bowl of ice cream before the service. You know? And these are the brands of ice cream that I eat. I eat Breyers. Look at the ingredients on Breyers. It's just a few ingredients. You know, milk, cream, what? I don't know. I had to make ice cream. But anyway, Breyers is one. Häagen-Dazs is the other. Häagen-Dazs is made by Dreyer's, but Dreyer's is not healthy. If you look at the list on Dreyer's, it's got all kinds of artificial stuff in it. So Breyers with a B is good. Häagen-Dazs or Ben & Jerry's ice cream is another one. And those are just the three that I know of offhand. And I mean, I know that there are other ice creams out there that are healthy. But those three right there, Ben & Jerry's, Breyers with a B, and Häagen-Dazs. These are just a few substitutions that you make, substituting butter instead of margarine, that will help you to be much healthier. And just stop and think, did God make this or did man make this? That's a good indicator right there. Is it from a laboratory or is it from the most... Think about it. Whatever we eat that's the closest to how God gave it to us, that's going to be the healthiest thing. The less we've altered it and messed with it, the better off it's going to be. That's why raw fruits and vegetables are healthier than cooked. Now, cooked fruits and vegetables are good, but the ultimate is to eat something raw. So you should have raw fruits and vegetables in your diet. But where did I have you turn? 1 Timothy 5:23. Look at this verse. Now we're going to talk about your beverage choices a little more. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 23. The Bible reads, "Drink no longer water, but use a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thine often infirmities." Now, people will try to use this verse to say that Paul was telling Timothy to drink alcohol. Now, wait a minute. In the same book, two chapters before, he said that a bishop should not be given to wine. Right? Not to drink any wine. Just before. He talked about people not be given to much wine or any wine at all for the bishop. Okay? The Bible condemns alcohol all throughout the Bible. Genesis to Revelation, literally, alcohol is condemned as bad. But the word wine in the Bible can refer to juice. For example, in Isaiah 65, you don't have to turn there, but the Bible talks about the new wine, I believe it's Isaiah 65, 8, being in the cluster of a grape that's still on the vine. Okay, so don't tell me that's alcohol. Alcohol doesn't grow on a vine, in a grape. Okay, man, you know, takes that and lets it rot and ferment and become alcohol. But the Bible condemns alcohol. He's not talking about drinking alcohol. Because also, alcohol is not good for your stomach. Alcohol will damage your stomach. In fact, I knew a man who had that part of his stomach removed because of alcohol abuse. Okay, so he's not telling him to drink liquor. What he's telling, and by the way, he doesn't say drink no longer juice, but use a little alcohol. I mean, he's saying he's referring to water only versus a little wine. Now, is he telling him here to replace water with wine or juice, is what we would call it in modern day? No. He doesn't say, drink no longer water, just only drink wine. He said, use a little wine. Do you notice that? He's saying, use a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thine often infirmities. Now, throughout the Bible, I don't have time to show you the hundreds of times, literally, that the Bible references people drinking water. I mean, the Bible, when you read the Bible, the drink that they're drinking over and over, there are places where they're drinking milk, there are places where they're drinking juice, but over and over again, what you see them just drinking is water. Water, water. 100 times. I mean, the disciples, Jesus, the Old Testament, all throughout the Bible, drink water, drink water, drink water, drink water. And then here he's saying, hey, use a little wine. He's saying, drink no longer water exclusively, but use a little wine for thy stomach's sake and often. Juice is good for your stomach. I've known people who had a bad stomach. They were told by the doctor to drink a glass of grape juice every day. People who had other health problems. I forget what the health problem was. Some kind of a heart disease that somebody had, or cholesterol problems, were told to drink 8 ounces of grape juice a day. And one doctor told a friend of mine who was a recovering alcoholic. Okay, I mean, it's a friend of mine that used to be an alcoholic. Tells him to drink a glass of wine. You know, we're talking about alcohol. Drink a glass of wine 3 times a week. And I'm thinking to myself, why are you telling a recovering alcoholic to start drinking? So this person asked the doctor and said, well, wait a minute. Do I need to drink wine or can I just drink grape juice? And he said, yes, grape juice will do the exact same thing. So he drank the grape juice. But I mean, isn't that stupid? So he's telling you, oh yeah, and people will try to say, oh yeah, you know, wine is great for your health. No, it's the juice that the wine is made from that's good for you. You know, it's good for you in spite of the fact that it has alcohol in it. It's not the alcohol. Yeah, alcohol has these great healing properties. Are you crazy? Do you know what alcohol is? It's poison. If you drank pure alcohol, you'd fall over dead. I mean, if we had a glass right now of 100% alcohol and said, here, drink this, you would drink it and you would fall over dead. It's poison. Right. And what happens is they're diluting the poison. You know, Budweiser is 3% poison, 3% alcohol, 97% other things. You know, if you're drinking Corona, it's going to be, you know, 6% alcohol. And other drinks vary. You know, vodka is going to be, what, half alcohol or whatever. And you only drink small quantities of it. You have to mix it with other things because it's poison. Yes. And you can develop a tolerance to poison, but you're still damaging your body every time you put poison in your body. And the reason that it makes people have a feeling of you know, having a good time is because it's damaging their brain cells. It's like somebody sniffing paint or something. It's the same thing. They're killing brain cells to make them feel high. It also makes you stupid. That's why people who are drunk do stupid things, because their mind is not functioning properly, because the poison from the alcohol is going into their bloodstream, and the place of your body, two places, have the most blood flow in your entire body, your brain and your liver. That's why alcohol destroys those two things. It destroys your brain and it destroys your liver. And so, because those are the places that have the most blood flow, and you have a blood alcohol concentration that's attacking those two parts of your body more than anything else. And so here he's saying, yes, water is your primary beverage. Yes, water mentioned hundreds of times, but a little wine, a little juice. Now let me tell you something. The best thing that you could do for your health, and if you take one thing from the sermon, drink water. I mean, that is the best thing you could do for your health. I mean, you mean fluids? No, water. Oh, tea, coffee, water. I'm telling you, people who drink water are much healthier than people who don't. I've never known somebody who was very overweight who drank a lot of water. I remember there was this girl that I went to school with, great Christian, I mean a really nice person, good friend of mine, but she was just very overweight. I mean, to an extreme. And she was a great Christian. And, you know, I felt bad for her because she had this problem of just eating junk. You know, she would eat the snack cakes. She would eat the hydrogenated, like, I mean, she'd go through a whole box of those Little Debbies like it was nothing, you know. And a very nice girl. I felt bad because she was just, you know, in this bad habit of this addiction of food and gluttony. And I just remember she'd always, I hate water. I don't like the way water tastes. Water doesn't taste like anything, okay? And you need to learn to love water. And I've never known somebody who was very overweight who drank water. Because water has no calories. And not only that, water burns calories. Because your body has to process and digest the water. And so drinking a lot of water will clean out your system, keep it functioning properly, and it will help you to, you know, burn calories and lead a healthy lifestyle. And so he's saying that water should be your primary beverage, a little bit of juice as a supplement, but not as your main beverage. Drink a lot of water. I mean, drinking water is one of the healthiest things you can do. You should be drinking like a gallon of water a day. I'm serious. I drink over a gallon of water a day, especially if you live in Arizona in the summertime. And boy, we're getting into the heat and the hot time of year. Man, if you're out soul winning, we don't want to scrape you up off the ground when you just passed out and you're heat stroke, and we have to scoop you up and try to revive you because you didn't drink enough, you know. You got to have a lot of water and salt and food and everything in your system to be hydrated. And so drink a lot of water. Water is the best thing that you could be drinking for your health and for a lot of reasons. It's all throughout the Bible. But use a little wine. You know, drink some juice. Juice has good nutrients. Replace soda with carbonated juice and so forth. And so I got to close the sermon for sake of time, but just stop and think about these things. You know, you can live your life and just, you know, go from Burger King to Jack in the Box, and then stop at Del Taco, and then, you know, and just eat that way, just meal after meal after meal. But I'm telling you what, you're not going to be thinking clearly, you're not going to feel good. You know, people today, you run into them, they don't have energy. And they'll get around somebody who does have it, they're like, wow, why do you have all this energy? Wow, how can you work so long, these long hours and stuff? Hey, the way that you're going to be able to work long hours, Get up early, be healthy, be energetic, be athletic, is what you're eating. And again, I'm not telling you to go on one of these stupid diets, the Hollywood diet. And I'm not telling you to sit there and just eat a few bites and pick at your food. Hey, eat a whole meal. That is what's good. It's not good for you to under-eat either. You know, I don't have time to go into it this hour. Under-eating can be a problem. You know, and especially girls today that just will not eat, and you practically have to force feed them. You know, they don't want to eat. They don't want. Look, under eating can be just as much of a problem as overeating. It's just as unhealthy. I mean, in order to be healthy, you should be eating a proper diet of breakfast, lunch, and dinner, taking from all the four food groups, natural foods that God made, and eating until you're full. When you're hungry, sit down, eat a complete meal till you're full. As long as you're not eating the junk, you're not going to gain the weight. You're not. Don't worry, ladies. You're not going to become, you know, huge just eating too many raisins or something. You know what I mean? It's just not going to happen. And so think about these things. And again, Pastor Harris is not trying to tell you what to do. Go ahead and eat all the garbage. Put your Diet Pepsi in the church fridge. I mean, to me, it's almost sacrilege. You know, I mean, aspartame and all that. You know, Diet Coke is probably the worst thing that you could possibly be drinking. And I mean, if you put a Diet Coke and a Budweiser in front of me and said I had to drink one or the other, I'd just say, you know, pull the trigger. You know what I mean? I'm just saying. I mean, that stuff's poison. All the chemicals, all the you know, and look, everybody who drinks Diet Coke is overweight. Face it. It's the truth. But anyway, the point that I'm trying to make is, go eat and drink whatever you want. Pastor Hansen's not trying to tell you what to do or anything. But I'm just showing you scriptural things about gluttony, about drunkenness, about food, about beverages. And I hope that you'll just take these things and learn from them for your own good, so that you can be healthier and happier and live your best life now and all that kind of stuff. So let's go to prayer. Father, we thank you so much for our church, and just thank you for the people in our church that go out and work so hard and knock doors and win people to Christ. And God, I just pray that you help us to be at maximum efficiency and be able to do the most for you because we're healthy, because we're eating and drinking things that are beneficial to us, not for drunkenness, but for strength, dear God. So please just help us to stop and think next time we're going to eat, not to just gorge ourselves.